Two Bulls in a China Shop is brought to you by these great companies that are giving us money to let you listen to their stuff.
Bullshit, Kyle. We make this show. We make this show. You and me. Two Bulls in a China Shop is brought to you by us.
Someone's got to pay the bills, Dan, because it's not our trading.
All right, roll them.
You are listening to an entertainment program put together by a company called Financial Ineptitude. Anything said on this show is not an endorsement or professional advice. Would you really want to tell a court of law you were suing us because you thought taking financial advice from two idiots on a podcast put out by Financial Ineptitude was a good idea? Really? Clown hat, smiley face.
Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome back to the China Shop. We're blasting those doors wide open for another exciting interview. I'm Shopkeeper Dan. With me is Kyle, creator of financialineptitude.com. How are you doing today, Kyle?
I'm doing good. Is there any reason why we're blasting the doors open? Is this why we're over budget? Keep destroying everything in the show?
You keep having to buy new doors?
Yes.
Well, I'm coming back from an exciting camping vacation, so I'm just all chock full of energy.
Just ready to go.
Rip roaring, ready to go.
Who's our guest today?
All right, everybody sit down. You're going to need to take a seat for this. We are joined by Sammy Ellard King from Up the Gains. How are you doing today, Sammy?
Hey, Dan, how you doing? You well?
I am very well, thank you. Thank you.
Good.
Dan was just over, and you were in Ireland, was that a couple months ago?
About 3 months back, yeah.
So are you in London or are you somewhere else?
Yeah, I'm London, but Ireland's awesome. Yeah, I'm a big Guinness drinker, so yeah, I love Ireland.
Yeah, the Guinness tastes better over there. It really does.
Oh my God, yeah, it is.
I've heard it ruins it, though.
It ruins it when you come back to the UK exactly. And it doesn't taste the same. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Is it the same Guinness, or do they have like their special, like this is the beer that we serve our citizens, and then we export just everything else?
Just poisoning slowly the English.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past those tricky Irishmen.
Well, half of them are in your country, so you know.
Oh, right. <That's good point. laughs> Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, Sammy? Tell us about Up the Gains and just kind of your background, like how you got involved in the whole world of finance.
Yeah, it's kind of been a journey really for me. You know, I'm sure everybody says that, but I mean, literally, I am a hospitality marketeer by trade. It's what I fell into. You know, my father runs music venues. My granddad ran jazz clubs. So like I grew up in this world. So I kind of fell into it, but you know, it came really naturally to me, obviously with the family heritage. But basically I started investing around about when I was 25. I was quite deep in debt. I worked my way out of it through bits and bobs, which I'm sure we'll touch on later on in the chat, but really, I was that guy in the family and friends group that invested, if you know what I mean. And then so over time, mm-hmm. It was just like, oh, Sammy will help you with this and Sammy will help you with that. And that's what I was doing and sort of helping friends and family. And then in the pandemic, it kind of got to the point where it was like I was getting questions left, right and center. And actually, you know, I had all this time in my hands. And everywhere I read out online, every article I came across, you know, there was always points within that article that I would need to go and understand myself by researching just that piece of terminology. It's just quite jargon heavy, and a lot of the personal finance blogs at the time weren't necessarily catering towards the audiences that I was kind of speaking to every day. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to really create this kind of platform and community of people that can come together and actually learn about finance, whether or not they just want to touch on, you know, the basics of investing, or they want to understand, you know, what the hell my, you know, market capitalization is, for example, or, you know, how do I actually do a budget and make it actually a bit of fun for them instead of it just kind of being this kind of, yeah, you make a budget by making an Excel spreadsheet, you know, all this stuff you kind of,
right,
you know, read every day on every rubbish finance blog out there. And so I just wanted to put a bit of personality into it really, and kind of Up the Gains of kind of bridge, because to be honest, we kind of shouted it at each other when we kind of had a successful trade. we'd be like, up the gains to like me and my friends, and like voice noting each other over, because you couldn't leave the house, right? And over the pandemic. And I was like, yeah, no, I like this, you know, I'm gonna run with it, because it just kind of had a bit of meaning to me, and I thought that was important. So yeah, that's kind of what we do, really. We're just kind of helping people kind of suss out finance and like money and investing, and getting them involved and giving them the confidence to get investing in the markets. And you know, we like discussing stocks too, you know, it's where I come from, you know, that's it. Yeah,
everybody loves talking about stocks,
right?
Everyone likes talking about their stocks, I should say. People right? Don't want to hear about your stocks.
Yeah, for real.
So you're more of an investor then, it sounds like. You're not trying to like do like day trades. Like, do you do more like swing trading, like holding for 3-4 months, or are you more like in it for the long haul? Like, I want this for 10 years.
Bit of both. So it's kind of within my SIP, which is kind of your Roth IRA 401k. I'm like straight index funds, ETFs. That's it. You know, I don't, there's no point. I'm not going to touch that money at all. You know, I'm 60 odd. So there's just really no point. You know, I just stay in the market, dollar cost averaging, don't think about it. But in my stocks and shares ISA and in my standard investment accounts, like, I have a lot more fun. That's where I'm like individually stock picking, occasionally swing trading, you know, buying oil when it's negative, that type of vibe, you know, like it's a lot more fun, you know, and this is the money that I want to get rich off. So I have fun with it now. And also, you know, I want to experience it. You know, I started investing probably a couple of years into the big giant bull run that we've been on forever. And it's just kind of been ahead of a ride since then. So, you know, I want to learn as well about what happens when the market goes down, because I haven't been through that necessarily as much as everybody else has over the years. So, you know, I'm finding this period really interesting, right?
A lot of people haven't been.
I know, man. It's crazy. So,
like, this is going to be the year that's going to probably teach a lot of people just how difficult the stock market can be.
right
because a lot of people got involved like the same time like you did, like around the COVID, like they started really diving into it, and that was just the time where you could pretty much, I think, what was the joke George did, just type in your initials and buy that stock and you'd make money.
You're gonna make money.
Like, you had to try hard to lose.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, but completely. Yeah. I'm about 8 years now, so like I've had my losses. You know, I've picked some pretty.
So you got a little bit of some of the downturns then. You saw like 2018, yeah. I think.
2018 was pretty rough. But yeah, no, I've kind of, this is why I'm doing this, because my, you know, when I speak to friends who have been in the markets for years, I was doing slightly better than them, like year on year averages. And, you know, these guys work in investment banking. So I was like, okay, cool. Like I'm onto something here. So, that's for me was like, right, cool. You know, this is why this period is so important, because it's like, all right, this is, if you're, yeah, as you were saying, like, you could have picked any stock and made money over the last sort of few years, right? But if your fundamentals and your stock picking techniques are slightly off, even by a touch, you could be making significant losses. So, you know, I think it's important as well. You know, everyone's always banging on about scan out and look at the big picture, but have you got the metal to go through this and hang on?
That can be real tough.
Yeah, for real. So, yeah.
So you mentioned fundamentals, and do you mix any technical analysis in there too, or you just stick straight with the fundamentals?
I'm heavy fundamentals, but I will wait for opportunities using RSI. You know, I will, if we're hugely overbought, I will not go in, even if I think the company's a great opportunity. And you know, there's often times where that's come back to bite me, and the company's shot up from there 15-20%. But you know,
there's always going to be exceptions,
right? And if you don't have that like little bit of margin of safety that you're kind of bringing through, then I don't know, you know, you're leaving yourself exposed. I think it's been more apparent if you were buying what's it, like 8-9 months ago when the market was high, you're thinking, yeah, great. Even if the RSI was down, you buy and look, you know, you might be down 60-70% on some of those. So,
right.
Yeah, it's that for me, that's really important. I like to try and give myself a little bit of, you know, I'm trying to be patient, even though I'm like, oh my God, wow, what an opportunity. Love this company, you know, right. Brilliant fundamentals, 100% year on year growth. Look at this. Wow. Like even then, you know, still try to have a bit of patience, even though it can be quite exciting and difficult to hold yourself back from.
I like what you said about using the RSI, but using it in the way that you're not using it to say, okay, I should enter. You're using it to say, maybe I should wait a little bit. And I think that's the way indicators work best.
Yeah.
Where you use them to disqualify trades, not to qualify them.
100%. Look, and a friend of mine is like a full-on technical trader, and he does very well out of it, but it would drive me nuts if I'm totally honest with you. Like sitting there doing what he does, drawing all the graphs, saying, you know, this is an A wave line into a, I'm like, whoa, you've lost me here. And I get it, like, and I understand it, why people do it, and people are really successful with it. But, you know, I also can be quite successful just looking at, you know, a company.
Mm-hmm. And that's really the key to success in the markets, is it's not really the strategy or the style. It's how well you can stick to it and how well can you manage risk.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, there's been a certain big movement in my portfolio the last sort of 8-9 months. You know, I've gone heavy value. I've moved perhaps out of more of the growth names that I've done quite well, but I'm a big fan of skimming off the top as you go up. Like I don't let these things run until, you know, I'm seeing 400, 500, 600% gains. Like that's just, for me, that's just crazy. Like if I've made my money, I take it off the table, but I leave some things playing, and then you can buy back in at good opportunities, like it is kind of now on a lot of these guys again. So, you know, that for me allows me to move in and out of stuff. Like for example, I wrote this piece the other day, and I was talking to some friends about it, and I just think it's really important, like, especially as we're heading into, say, a recession right now. Like, you're never going to buy those.
Whoa, be careful.
All right, sorry. Big words here.
Yeah, the White House changed the definition.
All right, yeah.
Okay, avoid that.
All right, yeah. No, that's very true. I'll hold back. We're heading into tougher times, shall we say.
There you go. And,
we'll work for the Fed.
Yeah.
You're right.
We'll see. On his big shiny horse, yeah. You know, for me, it's... I can't even remember what I was saying now.
Yeah. We completely derailed it.
No, I was going to say, yeah. So you're not going to buy those Bose headphones, but you're going to buy shampoo. Yes. You know, that's for me is massively important. These guys like P&G or, you know, Unilever, whatever, that, you know, these guys are posting steady growth numbers, and now is probably a time to be in some of these, you know, part of this balance, right? I'm not heavy on these, but they have to be a part of it, because, you know, if you're heavy on these growth stock names, you're going to see tanking losses 40-60%. So, you know,
and there's always that belief too, like it can't go down anymore. Like I look at a lot of these growth stocks that I've been watching that are like, you know, down 90% almost. It seems like can't go down anymore, can they? Well, yeah, they can still drop another 90%. It's just the dollar movement's going to be different, but if you invest in it still, it's still going to take your head off.
Yeah, totally. You know, and a lot of these names that I buy, you know, the ones that I just won't sell, even though I know now, even looking at them, it's painful. I've watched, you know, 200-300% gains drop down to negative. Now it's like, bloody hell, like, where did this happen? But then I'm looking at them, and this, you know, recent earnings reports are positive. They're still growing. So it's only a matter of time. It's just, it's just, you know, if you're thinking next year, then you might be in trouble. If you're thinking in 10 and you're buying that whole way up, then, you know, you're going to have a pretty nice retirement.
Any names we'd recognize on that list?
Yeah, there's a few. I'm quite heavy US, you know, I believe in the US economy. And so, yeah, I love Upstart. I think it's a great business. AI lending, you know, I think it's, if it can nail it, you know, it's done pretty damn well. It's had a couple of rough earnings reports, but, you know, that's expected. They got into different sectors that I that they'd never done before. And you know, they burned through a bit of cash, which but their growth numbers back, you know, in 2020, early 2021, they were posting like 217% year-on-year gains, which is ridiculous. And they're unrivaled really within that sector. There isn't anyone really challenging them. So I think
did you say Facebook or is that a different name?
Upstart.
Oh, okay. Thank goodness. Yeah, no. I was going to challenge that opinion.
Good old Mark. No, not for me, that one. I stay well off there.
Not paying attention to, but Upstart, I mean, their earnings actually look pretty solid every time they've reported. Looks like they've beat expectations every one. I mean, they've only been around since 21, but...
Yeah. It's incredible business. Like, it's former Google employee. His name escapes me right when I need it. But they built this whole AI powered approach, and the amount of people and the amount of banks that keep signing up with them, they're growing hugely. So they've been pummeled. They're one of the ones that, you know, people were buying at ridiculous, you know, 150, 200. They went all the way up to, I think, like almost $400. Now they're at like 26. So, you know, for me, that's a huge opportunity.
Actually, right at their IPO price, it looks like.
Exactly, right? So they've gone bounce right back down, which is insane with the growth that they've been posting over the since their IPO. So for me, that's an undervalued company. But, you know, interestingly, I like looking at businesses as well. So there's another business called Overstock in the US, furniture business. They also, so what I like finding is businesses that actually have investments or percentages in other businesses, and they own, I think it's an 85% of Medici Ventures, and Medici Ventures is huge in its blockchain, crypto, digital wallets, fintech style brands. I think they have like 20 odd brands on there if you Google it in. And a lot of those companies are growing huge amounts. And that isn't really reflected in the stock price. So I'm looking at that thinking, wow, you know, you've got another business which is probably going to end up outgrowing Overstock, that Overstock has full ownership of, pretty much. So that's not being spotted.
Kind of like when Yahoo was like owned a significant chunk of Alibaba, when Alibaba IPO'd.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they did. They got a nice price boost to their stock when Alibaba went and debuted on the markets.
Right. And there you go. So these are the wicked things, right? Finding these little nuggets and the market hasn't realized them. I'm happy to hold these guys even if they drop. And I'm happy to keep buying in as long as there's some cash to still play with, because I've been buying them for quite some bloody time now, man. So, yeah.
Let's talk a little bit more about the website. I was looking through some of the stuff that you have over there at upthegains.co.uk. I should say it's not .com.
Yeah, it's .co.uk. Yeah.
I was looking at the top 10 investing podcasts of 2022. I noticed that it seems to be a bit of an omission on there.
Yeah.
Well, now I've been a guest, you know, you're going to be number one, right?
So, right. Have you been on one of these other ones?
No, I would love to. I would absolutely love to.
Well, then, yes, we definitely should be at the top. You can tell the Motley Fool, if they want to reclaim their spot, then they can have you on.
Right, exactly. Good old Chris Hill. Yeah, that'd be cool. No, I'd love to go on some of those guys. I've been on actually one of those, Payback Time with Sean Pepper, that runs Ticker. I don't know if you know it.
I don't think I've seen that one.
It's quite good, actually. He's a really good host. Ticker's quite a cool little platform, actually, as well. It kind of assesses lots of different fundamentals and then kind of kicks out a score, a health score. I thought it was pretty cool. Check those guys out.
Then the other thing I was looking at was, I like the way, like, you have like the rankings of like things. So this is a good resource for somebody who wants to just kind of see what other things are out there, what options there are, like the best investing apps.
Yeah.
You got a list and shows like the features of all of them. And I noticed that Robin Hood isn't on there, though. Is there any particular reason why you took them off? I know why I wouldn't put them on.
Yeah. You know, look, I don't really like them.
So, we're not fans at all.
Okay, cool. Yeah, look, I wasn't a big fan of the way they did business throughout that whole GameStop scenario. And I think it's starting to show. You know, I just don't think they're a trustworthy company. But then again, you know, I love some of their initial seed investors, you know, Howard Lindzen. These guys are, like, for me, the best in the business. But, you know, I don't know what they did with the brand. I just don't know whether they got it right. You know, I think eToro has a lot more to it than Robin Hood.
Well, does eToro have, like, fireworks that go off when you, like, do your first trade? Like, things that are designed to, like a casino game almost?
Gamification, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was. Like, I'll say it was. I use eToro. That's what my general investment account is, because I like its social aspect. You know, I follow top investors on there. You know, you can see how they're doing. So there's no bullshit, which I really like. You know, and they will post stock analysis or, you know, market analysis, or, you know, there'll be sort of an economics kind of chat going on within the comments. And I find that quite enjoyable. Back when I first started using it, probably 2018 now, it was quite like that. You know, there was a firework that went off. It is so easy to use that, but they have steered away from that. The app has become a lot more geared to the kind of intermediate investor. You're not going to get masses of technical analysis on the back of end, but there's enough there to keep you interested and not wanting to, you know, open up, you know, a stock trader or Bloomberg or etc. kind of website. So I think it's come a long way, and Robinhood's gone the other way, and it's kind of trying to prey on these guys with no knowledge and get them in and get them trading, get them losing. And it's just not a good way to do business, I don't think so.
No, well, I mean, Robinhood makes most of their money from all the transactions. So obviously they want you to be making as many as possible.
Yeah. eToro is the same. They make money on the spread.
A lot of them are, but they can do a better way of, I guess, they don't have to encourage it, I guess I could say.
Yeah, no, exactly right. You know, they've done, eToro's kind of done a lot into, like, with its content, and there's now, like, a learning hub on there, which they didn't have when I first started, and they actively encourage you to get involved in certain communities on there, which are all geared to long-term investing. So they clearly see the end game here. Like, you know, perhaps something that Robin Hood missed was like, hang on, if I've got this guy for a year and he burns through all of his cash, great, that looks good on the balance now, but like, where is he in 10 years? So if, you know, eToro are thinking about it from a long-term perspective, it makes much more sense. But those guys are cool. But yeah, I mean, I tried to gear that Best Investing apps page really for just apps that are available in the UK, but I know eToro is creeping heavily into the US at the moment. So
is that, are they the competitors of Webull, or is that just another name of the same?
Quite similar. Yeah, very much so. We can't get Webull in the UK. I don't know. I think we can now. Yeah, it is really similar. Like, you know, that kind of analysis and that score factor that Webull were really good at. There's a lot of similar features, definitely.
You also got some good learning resources on here too, just as far as like you said, like you started out with like the terms, like just an explanation of like, what exactly is a stock? How do you invest? What are these like the things that you wish you knew, or are these the things that you were kind of writing down as you were learning, thinking like, yeah, maybe somebody else could benefit from this?
Yeah, I think it's like, I want to take someone that has zero knowledge and turn them into, you know, give them the opportunities to either be like myself and you know, really enjoy trading and getting on and doing a few bits of more riskier stuff, or they can also go into that more hands-off approach when they're with an app like, you know, Wealthify or Nutmeg, which is bought by JP Morgan, these kind of brands where they just invest every month and they at least they're putting money into the markets, and that, you know, I'm okay with them doing that. Well, personally, whether I would do that is a different thing, but there's at least they're in the markets and at least they're generating themselves some sort of wealth for later on. And to do that, you have to give these people I know so many people ask them what a stock is. They have no idea. Mm-hmm. And if I say to them, what's investing in the stock market? They go, oh, and it's like, go on, what's the next sentence? And they don't know what to say.
Right. Oh, that's risky.
Yeah. Right. Risk is what they say. Oh no, too risky. Oh no. And then I tried to talk to them about literal basics of like, you know, how much you've got in your savings account. Oh, do you know what the inflation rate is? Do you know how much that means you lost last year? Mm-hmm. What do you mean you lost? What do you mean I lost? I put £5,000 away. Yeah, but you lost this, right? And when you say that to them, you can see their face drop. And, you know, I think it's really, they don't realize that because we're just not taught in school. That's another fact of what it is. You know, these are types of things that I want to bring through. One of my main goals for Up the Gains next year was, you know, I spent this year like really building the website. Now it's like, you know, there's a few more bits I want to do to it over the next couple of months. But next year, the big plan is to kind of take on local initiatives initially. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to partner with a load of different financial kind of influencers here in the UK and really kind of try and spearhead a campaign for them to try and change financial literacy to become a part of the curriculum in our school system.
Can you come over here when you're done?
Yeah. Well, you guys are more ahead than we are. Like there's five states in the US which have actively said, yes, okay, this can be part, but then it's down to...
Florida is the only one I was familiar with.
I think it's up to five now, but high schools have the choice.
Just needs to be part of the curriculum. You're just setting people up for, you got to give them the tools to try to get ahead or at least be, you know, comfortable, you know, 20, 30 years down the road, because that's the time when you have to be doing it. Like if you can't get that time back. And so many people don't start thinking about retirement until they hit like 40. And then now suddenly, because you know, with the power of compound, you got to save exponentially more to try to just catch up to where you could have been if you would have just been putting a little bit away at 20.
There's so many things to it. Like, you know, money won't solve your problems, but it'll pay for the journey. You know, it was a quote by Prince. And I love that. And it's like, well, you're so right. Like, you know, these guys will probably be working super hard. Then suddenly this huge realization will hit them. And then they're going to be even more stressed and chasing their tail. And that's not good for your health. And it might end up killing you earlier than you thought you did, because you work even harder, right? For those years where you should actually be relaxing. I think it's fun. Something's fundamentally wrong with what we're taught. And that for me is like huge. And if we can make a difference, even in, like, I was saying this the other day to a buddy of mine, I was like, man, if I can teach 30 kids and two of them walk out of that classroom with like, yeah, cool, I'm going to do something about this, and they do it, you know, that's two down and six billion more to go. but I see it like that. As long as I can help a few, you know, it can be many.
You can teach the people what they do with the information is up to them, but just giving them the choice, at least letting them know, you know, that there is an option out there or what their options are, I think is huge. You know, they may not choose to follow any, you know, the advice that, or not advice, depending on if you're like us, where you can't do that. but what they choose to do with the information, you know, that's on them.
Yeah, totally. You know, and if you do it in a fun way as well, these kids will kind of be receptive to it. Like, you know, one of my lessons that I've written is like, walk in there, and you've got 30 kids. You don't just start putting up stock charts. You're going to lose them. Right. Literally, like, two of them be like, what the hell? This is maths. Like, you know, what you could do is go in and be like, right, you know, today my name's Jeff Bezos and, you know, this is how I set up Amazon. So you guys are in marketing, you guys are in procurement, da 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 da, and give them little tasks to do. Mm-hmm. And you start like getting them thinking like, cool, how do we set up a business? How do we fund a business? You know, and start throwing little parameters, like things go wrong, like these guys need to help. How do you solve this and get them problem solving and thinking about business? And then you can kind of get them into how a stock works within a company because they would have learned how a business is run. And it's like, and you never know, these kids might go, hey, you know, wow, I want to do marketing. Like this is super fun, you know, or, you know,
or maybe they want to start their own business
or they get the entrepreneurial bug. Exactly. So, you know, for me, that's kind of what it has to be. Fun. We can't be walking in there being like,
yeah,
exactly. I am a finance guru, you know.
I think that you have a great opportunity of teaching kids how a business should be ran. So now when they're doing their fundamental analysis and they see Mark Zuckerberg swinging katanas around in the Facebook offices and saying that he's going to increase expectations until everyone leaves, now they can know that maybe this isn't a great investment for the future.
Yeah. Didn't he take away their holiday recently as well, or something like that? I was reading.
Somebody asked about the holiday and he rolled his eyes and said, you can see from my response how my reaction to this question.
Yeah, and the roll of the eyes is probably the only emotion he's shown since 2004, right? So it's like,
hey, he'll get that emotion chip someday.
Right?
Yeah.
Once Elon finishes his brain implants.
Well,
I really like this idea and I hope that you do find success with it. And in fact, I'd also ask that you reach out to Anthony because I think he'd be a great addition to somebody that could help you with this. He's a local podcaster in the UK as well.
Oh, cool.
Host of What the Finance, one of the shop friends. We've had him on a few different times.
Oh, wicked. Okay, great. Yeah, definitely will. Thanks for the heads up.
Yeah, I'll connect you guys when we get done recording.
Awesome.
Dan, you got any questions you want to ask? I've been hogging the mic.
No, you're doing such a good job.
let's go back to when we were first learning out then and start, you know, we were talking about like the terms and like how like even just the terminology is something that can kind of scare you off. I was just curious, like, why is that? Why are people afraid to ask? What does that mean?
We're in an information age, you know, like people want what they want now. And if it's not given to them on a silver platter, they turn off and switch off. Like, think how many times you pick up your phone and you don't really read articles anymore. You scan them and, you know, you scroll down and if something on there, you know, no matter what it isn't exactly what you want to hear at that moment in time, you flipped off, you searched something else, and within 2 seconds you're on a completely different website on a completely different topic, and whatever that was is gone, right? So unless you're deeply in and want to learn about it, and unfortunately that's where the numbers are few and far between, so for me it was like, let's give them a bit of information. If I say, you know, what is a bear market, let me tell them what a bear market is and make it interesting to read about. Or if, you know, I talk about PE ratio, then I tell them what it is and I link to it so they can go back and go into it. And then I have an article just about what is PE ratio, you know. So there is like literal basics there for them to kind of keep them motivated and engaged in the topic. You know, I'm never going to help everyone, but for me, I just felt that was a gap. You know, I was reading an article about something and I was three, four lines in and I'm like, what the hell is that? And
yeah,
I had to go back in, teach myself, go, you know, look at it again, write that down, write it over on a bit of paper so I remembered what the hell it was. You know, it's just like, it's gone, man, otherwise, you know. So, you know, I just want to break that kind of ethos down. I suppose it kind of comes from, you know, where I day-to-day marketing bars and restaurants and you know, I have another business on the side, hospitality business, which is good fun. You know, for me with those guys in that environment, no matter how much we tell ourselves we aren't, we as human race, we are sheep in a way, You know, you have to literally be like, the bathroom is over there and, you know, the bar is there. And, you know, that people don't want to go out and find that stuff for themselves. So you have to give it to them. And it is hugely important, you know, wayfinding around a venue, wayfinding around a website and an article is exactly the same mentality. It's just about how it's displayed to you. So yeah, it's, that's kind of the ethos, really.
I never really thought about how annoying it is when you go to a restaurant and you can't find the bathroom.
Yeah, just per sign up.
Yeah.
It's so easy, right?
Like now you gotta go stop a server and find out.
Yeah, and that's so awkward, right? Because you never have that conversation. You kind of just do this like weird little motion with your hands, like, and they kind of go, bathroom? You go, yeah. And they go, right, it's over there. And you're like, cool. And you just feel like an idiot, right? So it's like, well,
I just walk around and make my way back to the kitchen if I have to. An angry chef will always tell you, this isn't the bathroom, get out of here.
They'll have you on potatoes peeling in the back.
I do want to go back to the hospitality career. I do want to talk a little bit more. But first, I want to go back to the getting out of debt.
Okay.
And I think that's something that a lot of people probably do struggle with. So I'm curious, like, what was your approach to getting out of that? Like, how did you get into it, first of all? And then how did you get out?
Yeah. I'm really good at spending money. I'm really good at it. Like this whole financial literacy thing kind of comes from my parents. Like they were both fantastic people, but spent everything that they earned. And I kind of grew up like that, you know. Then, it was a nice upbringing, but we never were rich because they were always paycheck to paycheck, essentially. Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of grew up with that mentality too. And I took that into university. And then the moment I got let loose and no kind of parents around to tell you, don't do that, it was like, oh my God, you know, I can get an overdraft for £2,500 and I'm 18 and give me a credit card and no one around me to tell me not to go out and enjoy myself every night. Hell yeah, let's go. You know, so and that was what happened, really. I started my own events business when I was 18. I spent some of my student loan like throwing parties and nights, which I was booking music acts at the time that I thought were cool, and we did pretty well out of it. It was good fun, but you know, once again, we were just burning through money and kind of living a lifestyle that was it was great when you're in your early 20s, but you know, isn't sustainable. And you know, I kind of kept borrowing and kept opening lines of credit to pay debt and fund a lifestyle that perhaps, you know, it wasn't really for me. So I built up about, including student loans, so it was around about £50,000 worth of debt. So sort of $60,000-$70,000 nowadays. But you know, you pay your student loan off slightly differently here. You just comes out your wage packet. You don't pay it physically. They just take it from you. So that wasn't too much of a worry for me, but it was more the 20 sort of odd £1,000 worth of debt that I had. And so I had to seriously work out of that. A couple of my friends are good entrepreneurs. You know, they started businesses quite young, done quite well out of it. And, we went on a trip away to Vietnam, which was really cool. It was my first time into like Asia.
Vietnam is gorgeous.
It's insane. It's absolutely insane. Like it was my first I'd never been to an Asian country. And then I landed there like, what the hell is going on? Like, this is insane. It's like 50 million miles an hour and just no rules on the roads. It was like, you know, crossing the road, it was like literally you're going to die in 2 seconds. I loved it. You know, we were sitting on this beach and, you know, he was doing quite well. And, you know, he's always been banging on to me about sort of how I can sort of fund taxes through different schemes in the UK, and I was always like, yeah, you know, I'm 24, 25, you know, yeah, whatever, dude. And then he said something to me that stuck with me, and he said he didn't know about my debt. I'd actually taken out a credit card so I could even go on that holiday because I wanted to be cool and just kind of still part of the group, right. You know. He said to me, well, when do you want to retire? And I was like, yeah, you know, I'm 50, 50. And then he was like, how much do you spend each year? And I said, this amount. And he turned around and said, right, well, times that amount by the amount of numbers that you want to live, which was to my 80s, I think. So over 30 years, he said, do you have that amount? And I was like, no. He was like, well then, good luck. And I was like, oh, damn. And he was like, he said it with such an amount of authority that I was like, oh my God, I am way behind here. Like, what have I been doing?
I think that's how you walk into the classroom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You go ask each kid, when do you want to retire? How much money do you have? Good luck.
Get out. It's like your grade two kids like crying.
To go work for Hyundai.
Yeah, right.
Sorry, I didn't mean to hijack.
Nope. No, that's great. Yeah. No, I so yeah, that was it. And then I was away. I was like, got my hands on JD Roth. I don't know if you know the guy's name. He's an American chap who was actually, he was even worse. He was like 150,000 in debt. And is now like financially free, travels the world talking about it, and he has an Audible course. It's called How to Reach Financial Independence and Retire Early. It's like a 7 or 8 part, I always get this number wrong when I talk about it, course, and it's just awesome. Like it changed the way I thought about things and money. And I was lucky that I was one that I could, you know, I had the mental resilience and strength, and I've always had that entrepreneurial spirit to kind of get myself out of the other side. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't have a girlfriend or you know, kids or anything like that, so I could just focus, and I was lucky. So yeah, and I just hammered away at it. And this, you know, we have an ebook on upthegains.co.uk, and cheeky plug, you know, this is where I talk about it and that journey and those processes that I implemented. And you know, the budgeting spreadsheet that I built is available as well to buy, and that's the sheet that I built. So I basically built a snowball debt spreadsheet, household budget spreadsheet, to manage everything that I could possibly do. And you know, I chipped away at that debt as fast as I possibly could, starting with high interest first and working my way down. And I just set myself little success goals through it all. And
that's super important.
Yeah,
I know for me, like, I need to have smaller goals so that way I can, the big picture can get very overwhelming if you don't have those.
Real talk, man. You know, it's so tough to kind of like to kind of keep yourself on the pathway, you know. Mm-hmm. And the lifestyle that I had, you know, running bars and restaurants, is always going to be, you know, you could end up Tuesday night on the beer, and you know, that's and suddenly it's 1 a.m. and you're like, crap, or you know, I've just splashed $100, like, what am I doing?
Might as well finish it off.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Keep going. We go into work tomorrow, like, still going. It's awesome. Yeah. You know, I've been there. when that happens, it's like, not beat yourself up, because it's bound to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And just crack on, get straight back on the road and keep going. And you know, if you want to do it in 12 months, great, do it in 12 months. If you want to do it in 3 years, do it in 3 years. But you know, if it takes you 4, you know, it takes you 5, then so what? At least you did it. And so
at least you had a plan, like at least have something to try to, you're working towards it. Otherwise, if you're just ignoring it, then you're not making any progress.
Absolutely, man.
You also made another really good point too, like when budgeting and when you're trying to like pay off a big amount of debt, like you still have to have line item in that budget for fun, because otherwise you're just going to go complete batshit insane.
You know, I don't agree with this like whole FIRE movement, like lock yourself in a basement and save 80% of your earnings. Like, sod that.
Right.
Like, no, thank you. Life is here for a living.
Not quite that extreme, but that was my mentality through my 30s, or into my 30s.
Wow.
And then finally it occurred to me, like, I think, you know, I'd rather enjoy some of this now.
Yeah. It's because your legs start hurting when you get out of bed and you're like, oh my God.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
I need to sort some stuff out and start, you know, enjoying myself.
That gets better when you get older, right? The knee stops hurting after a while.
Please tell me that. That's all good.
Yeah. I think it stops hurting when everything else stops.
I think I'm going to be in like about a week's worth of pain from 9 hours of golf today. Like, ridiculous. So
it stops hurting after about the fifth, sixth beer for me.
Yeah. There we go.
Right. So let's go back to the event planning.
I have been hosting
events and musicians. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have some experience in hospitality as well, and being a band. So I'm eager to hear what it's like on the other side of the pond, as they say.
Oh, cool. Yeah, nice. What kind of band was it?
An indie rock band, three-piece, power rock.
Oh, cool. Nice. Yeah, I'm a muso. Like, it's, you know, what I love is where I came from. You know, I was quite lucky. My granddad was in the jazz scene in London, a place called Ronnie Scott's, which, you know, he kind of founded, and that kind of came an institution here in London. And I grew up like being dropped off at school at the jazz club. So I kind of grew up in this world of music, which for me is just, you know, it's just the best thing. You know, and you know, since his passing, I've just kind of always wanted to emulate that. And I worked in bars and restaurants, worked, I've done every job going, but kind of promotion and marketing was really my bag, and kind of setting up cool spots, which people really wanted to enjoy. So one of our sites is actually an old 17th century Grade II listed church. Which we've fully converted into an absolutely insane music venue with an incredible sound system, brilliant stage, which is underneath the original altar.
To have Vatican.
Crazy.
Right. Oh, I bet the acoustics are amazing in there.
It's insane, man. Like, we were really worried when we got in there and we did the clap and it was like bouncing around everywhere. But once we put everything in and put some people in there, sounds pretty good. That's kind of like my bread and butter and my forte. But you know, hospitality is unforgiving, man. Like, you know, you wake up, you know, I've got a couple of really good business partners. We're really good buddies. So we enjoy it, but you know, if you have one bad week, it can put the stress on any relationship, including relationships outside. And you really walk with that, you know, on your mind and your soul. And so this kind of foray into personal finance really for me is about fulfilling perhaps the hole that, you know, if hospitality doesn't necessarily fill as much anymore. You know, I still love a great show. I still love a good, you know, seeing a great band succeed, or, you know, that played at the venue and then they go on to have a smash hit. I love that. That's incredible. But
yeah. Have you booked any big names?
Yeah. We've had a few. So we've got the Amazons next, in Tuesday. I don't know if you know those guys. They're a UK rock band. They're absolutely amazing.
The Amazons, I'll have to check them out.
They're class. You'd love them. If you're indie rock guy, like,
yeah,
Amazons are awesome. So they're huge. So they're playing in a couple of weeks time, which is really cool. And we've had Ezra Collective, which are a big jazz collective here in the UK, done a smash tour of the US as well. They're really cool. So yeah, we've had a bunch of, but I mean, it's a 350 capacity site, so it's not huge, but it's beautiful. So we get a few of those guys that are kind of will want to come play intimate shows. You know, they'll do little turn ups when they've had the, you know, US tour or the UK tour from the US or something, and they'll turn up and jam and stuff like that. So we've had quite a few guys like that, which has been pretty cool.
Did you get to meet any, like, who was your favorite person that you met when, like, your grandpa was running the show and you were hanging out at the clubs?
You know, I've seen so much. I think Benny Goldson, he's a jazz musician, one of the original 50 from that photo where they all sit on the stairs in Harlem. He is lovely. Like, he's still, to this day, still calls me on New Year's Eve, which I just love. Hey, Sammy! Like, this big jazz, like, croaky voice. Clearly, he likes 60 cigarettes a day since he was like 10 years old. So it's just class. So yeah, that sticks with me. But yeah, so it's kind of, I don't know how long I will be able to do both. You know, the gains is growing month on month, ridiculous amounts. And, you know, I will have a decision to make whether or not I have to sort of bring in a team to sort of help manage that workflow. But yeah, we'll see where it goes.
Well, I'm really happy to hear that, especially if that leads to getting some more people some financial education at a younger age. You know, that's something that we've been huge fans of and been pushing. Anybody that wants to do that has our respect.
Thank you. I really appreciate that, guys.
All right. We got anything else that we need to cover, Dan?
When you're in the UK, guys, we should have a beer.
Ah,
yes.
Damn it, we should have had this call 3 months ago.
I would have taken the ferry over to have a beer. Yeah, sure.
the Titanic too.
thank you so much, Sammy, for coming on and chatting with us. We'll be watching your website, checking it out about once a week until we see the ratings on the investing podcast reflected correctly. Yeah. Just teasing. That's investing. We're more trading. So I get it. But really, really thankful for the time, for sharing your journey and talking about some of the struggles that you had as far as, and also like the big key lessons that you learned and how to get out of that. The website, once again, is upthegains.co.uk, and there's also the book, I think, that you mentioned, How to Go About Investing. It looks like you can get that on the website. We'll make sure we link those. Is there anywhere else that people can find you, or is there anything else you want to leave with the audience?
No, we're on the standard, you know, social media, Instagram, Twitter, at UpTheGainsMoney. And yeah, that's it. Thanks very much for having me, guys. Really appreciate it.
Oh, wonderful.
All right, Dan, you want to take us home?
Wonderful. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Sammy. This has been a great conversation. Great having you in the shop. We, you know, when Kyle and I do our tour of the UK and Europe, we'll be sure to stop by London and share a pint.
Damn right.
But it may take us a while, you know. We got to tour the rest of the United States first.
Plus, it better not ruin beer.
In Canada. Oh, yeah.
that's my fear. I had beer in Vienna when I was doing a work trip, and I've never had a beer as good as this local pub right out of the draft. Like, oh, God, I missed that.
Oh, in Austria?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a random place, too. Nothing. I think it was in Klagenfurt. Yeah.
Fantastic.
You know, they've been doing it for thousands of years. They should be good at it.
I would hope. Folks, we want to thank you all for sticking around to the end of the episode with us. We hope you learned a few things, had a good time. Check Sammy out. We'll have all those links in the episode description. We'll be back at you soon with another episode. If you liked what you heard, rate, subscribe, share, let all your friends know.
All that jazz.
All that jazz.
Callback.
Callback. Until next time. Happy trades.
Bye, folks.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is an entertainment program, and all thoughts and opinions expressed in the show belong to the hosts and not of any company. They are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide entertainment about stocks and the financial industry of trading. If you make trades based on what you hear in this show, you assume all risks for those trades.